If you're trying to beat the dog days of summer, there's one cool, dark place you can always go. The movies.
You want to make some money here? Then read the script of the white boys.
People say I talk with the white boys anyway, so why ain't it helping me out?
Well, you don't talk white enough. I'm not talking about Will Smith's wife. I'm talking about the real deal. Like this young blood.
Hey, Mr. Kramer. This is Langston from Regal View. I didn't catch you at the wrong time, did I?
That was Lakeith Stanfield and Danny Glover in the new comedy Sorry to Bother You, directed by Boots Riley. And in case you couldn't tell from the clip, it's a pretty unique story about telemarketing, capitalism, and, of course, race. Tomorrow, Blind Spotting, co-written by David Diggs of Hamilton fame, is opening in theaters, and it also takes a highly stylized, somewhat surreal look at racism in the United States. And here to talk about the films and their chances of connecting with viewers are Aisha Harris, assistant editor in the culture department at the New York Times, and as always, Rafer Guzman, our film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway. Thanks both for being here.
Hi, Tanzina.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. So we've got these two films that are coming out, both made by people of color, films starring people of color, both set in Oakland. They've both premiered at last year's Sundance. But beyond these similarities, is it fair to group these films together? Aisha.
I think there are definitely some similarities within the themes. All the things that you just named obviously put them together. And I also think that beyond just the fact that they are set in Oakland, they're made by people of color, it's the fact that they're both very fantastical in many ways. They're imaginative in ways that we haven't necessarily seen in when we're talking about things dealing with this kind of subject matter. So I think it's fair to say that aesthetically, there are some choices that are being made that are definitely like bringing these movies together.
Ray, for your thoughts.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the sense of humor, the sense of absurdity, a kind of surrealism, maybe much more in Sorry to Bother You than in Blind Spotting, perhaps. But this kind of the topsy-turviness of the world and the kind of disorientation, maybe that you get when you're drawn into that, I think that's a real common theme between these two in particular.
And of course, both of these movies are trying to address or are addressing some pretty serious issues, right? We're talking about racism, police brutality, capitalism. Is it possible, and are they effective in delivering messages about these issues while also being entertaining at the same time?
I definitely think that we're in this moment now where we have so many different works that are dealing with this, whether it's TV shows like Atlanta, Insecure. And I think what's great about these two movies is that they're exploring them in new possibilities and new ways. There are dream sequences. There are awkward cuts. There's a very big part of Sorry to Bother You, this like the last 20 minutes that's you will not see coming. It comes out of nowhere. And so seeing this sort of inventiveness and this creative choices that they're taking, I think we are definitely seeing, I think, something really great and exciting.
Yeah, I agree. You know, another film also set in Oakland, also about a police shooting, Fruitvale Station, you know, from several years ago.
That's right.
A much more hard-hitting, realistic kind of confrontational or sort of direct film about that subject. And that film did pretty well at the time. But these films are essentially comedies. They're satirical. They're pointed, but they're comedies. They're funny. They're fun. And I think that's kind of a great selling point. It's a great way to get into that subject. You know, Fruitvale Station was a pretty hard sell to mainstream America on a Friday night after a long work week. Mm-hmm. That's a tough subject. You could tell by the poster that movie was just going to leave you feeling mad and sad and powerless. Although I love that movie, but it's a tough sell. These movies have something new, fresh, interesting, vibrant, funny, entertaining, and I think that's really important.
And when I think about these movies, I'm thinking back to Get Out, right? This really unique approach, if you will, to storytelling, to taking a very difficult topic, once again, racism, anti-black racism, slavery, I mean, all of these heavy issues, and not only creating a thriller, but yet had me laughing at the same time. Are we seeing a new wave or genre of creative ways of presenting this on screen on really difficult topics? Have we gotten past sort of, you know, these more directed narratives, Aisha? What do you think?
I definitely think so. And this isn't to say that these haven't existed before. There are movies like Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, the Melvin Van Peebles movies from the 1970s. That movie was doing similar things and had this sort of very kind of abstract narrative happening with it that I think we're seeing in these movies as well. But it is kind of because they have more resources, these filmmakers have even better resources, they can take even more crazy aesthetic choices. I think that it's great to see we're moving into a direction now where you can like have all of these different tools at your fingertips.
And do you think, Rafer, that audiences are looking for this? Like they're looking for things that are a little bit more, that take them outside of the traditional narrative arc and maybe put them into something more fantastical?
Yeah, I really do. I think people are, for a lot of different reasons, I suppose, politics being one of them, I think people are really looking for a new perspective. If you go back maybe to 2013, I think it was, there was a banner year, or at least it should have been, for black movies. There was something like a dozen black movies that were coming out. When I say that, I mean in terms of either the cast and or the filmmakers, writers, directors. The Butler was one of those. There was a romance called Baggage Claim. There were just a whole bunch, although probably we don't really remember them that well, I think because they were kind of traditional. They were kind of the black rom-com, mm-hmm. or, you know, the black period piece, the biopic, stuff we'd seen before. And I think, you know, something like Sorry to Bother You, which is so inventive in its sets and its use of sound and its soundtrack and just everything, its whole aesthetic, that feels really new and really fresh, and I think that's what's resonating with people.
I mean, so far, I have yet to see the film, but so far we have people who are just saying this is the best film they've ever seen. I mean, this is pretty, at least on social media. Aisha, I'm wondering, these movies were also written and directed by men. Did you think that the female characters in these films had enough depth? Were they well-developed? Were they three-dimensional?
I would say, and Sorry to Bother You, I think Tessa Thompson's character, Detroit, is pretty fully realized. I appreciate that she kind of had her own storyline apart from Cassius, the character played by Lakeith Stanfield. I will say, in Blindspotting, one of the things that I was a little bit disappointed by was the fact that the women in that film tend to be more of the moral voice of the movie in a way that we often see where the men have to, like, you know, they are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and the women are there to be like, you need to make yourself better. You need
that
to
that role again.
Yeah, we're seeing that again.
Right.
Not to say the actors were great in those roles, but I think that we could have seen a little more out of those roles written as they were.
And of course, there's another film, Rafer, that's coming up. It's a new film by Spike Lee coming out August 10th, Black Klansman. Wait, Aisha, you've actually seen this already.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to see it yet?
I have not, no.
All right. Well, let's talk. What do we think?
I thought it was really great. I think it's one of the most exciting things Spike Lee has done in a few years. And the last few minutes of it are just really powerful.
Are you excited, Rafer, about Spike Lee?
I'm really looking forward to that, about the undercover black cop who infiltrates the Ku Klux Klan, also using his white voice, by the way. And it looks really funny and entertaining. I'm really looking forward to it.
Also, these were, Rafer, just your last thoughts. These were both first-time directors and screenwriters. Did you notice that?
I did, in both good and bad ways, in both films. But I really think, in a lot of ways, there is no replacing the kind of excitement and urgency of a first-time film. I had some problems with Blindspotting, but it's just that film feels so real and from the heart, and it's just right up there, like they're never going to get another chance to make a movie, and I love seeing that.
Aisha Harris is an assistant editor in the culture department at the New York Times, and Rafer Guzman is the film critic for Newsday, and of course, here at The Takeaway. And that's our show for today, everyone. Remember, you can always join us the conversation on The Takeaway's Facebook page, or you can connect with me on Twitter. I'm at Tanzina Vega. Thanks for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.